Turn your Bibles to Psalm 69. One announcement I think I keep forgetting to make is I don't think I mentioned this, but there are some letters from the Ottos back on the bulletin board in the foyer. One is from Clayton as well, and kids as well as parents might enjoy reading that, but they seem to be doing well, and just continue to pray for their adjustment up there. Psalm 69. The title this morning of the message this morning is When God Doesn't Answer. Psalm 69, beginning in verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord of God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Do you ever have a prayer that does not get answered? You prayed earnestly. You prayed fervently. You prayed unceasingly and desperately. And it seemed all you got was God's voicemail. So David's expressing here. Where are you, God? Job had the same sentiment. I'm looking for you, God, and I can't find you anywhere. Where'd you go? Don't you see what's going on? Hannah. And all through the Bible, you can find examples of people who are in such a case. And you come right down to people in this room this morning. Who prayed. And it seemed God didn't answer. David has a cry of despair here in verses 1 to 3. Save me, O God. For the waters have come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Look at, hold your finger here. Go to Psalm 9. Psalm chapter 9. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in... That's not right. No, messed that one up. Try chapter 10 and verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O God, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? God seems to be absent to him. Look at back at Psalm 69 now in verse 10. when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. Now, Psalm 69, keep in mind, is a prophetic psalm as well. And it's an expression of what Jesus Christ experienced as he was going through the trial and hung on the cross. But that's one application of that, but we're looking at it differently this morning. Verse 11, I made sackcloth also my garment. I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was a song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. You see, he kept praying. Even though it seemed God was absent, God was distant from, not, but it seemed that way, he kept praying. Deliver me out of the mire, let me not sink, let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. He's prayed, he's poured his heart out to God, and all he gets in response is silence. And it's disheartened him. You ever been there? And you just don't understand why. Verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. You see, he didn't let the disappointment dissuade him from continuing to pray and to seek and to trust. When God doesn't answer, you keep praying and you keep trusting. And you keep confident that God is in control. Some things to consider in our prayer. There are reasons sometimes why there is no answer from God. The first and obvious and the most important is God answers our prayers according to His will. Too often times we look at prayer as telling God what to do. No, that's not the way prayer is to be approached. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You see, it's not just a matter of grabbing onto one thought or one concept of prayer. You know, a lot of times people say, well, God says if two agree on earth touching anything, then He's going to hear and answer it. That's true, but it's tempered with this verse, that God is going to answer according to His will. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. His word abiding in us, asking according to his will. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. But there's this aspect of the Trinity that's difficult, and it's impossible, I think, for us to understand. While Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the physical manifestation of God, yet while on this earth, there's still communication he has with the Father in heaven. And in Matthew 26 and verse 29, he says this. Matthew 26, 29. That's not right. What I wanted was where he's praying in the garden, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." 39. Okay, thank you. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." As he is facing the cross, He is about to be betrayed and taken to the trial before Pilate and so forth, and then to be ultimately crucified, hung on that cross, to die and go to hell to pay the price for our sins. And he puts that before the Father, "If it be possible, let this pass." He understands fully what he is about to experience, what he is about to suffer. And he's committed to that. But he says, "If it be possible, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." If we ask anything according to his will, God answers according to his will. In a sense, he said no, didn't he? God the Father said no. It's not possible. But Jesus Christ was submitted to that. We're to ask according to his will. And secondly, God sometimes does answer no. Many of God's faithful servants heard no from the Father. Jesus Christ heard it. Moses heard it. Moses got upset. He'd been leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. He had given up so much and he'd done so much for them and they're struggling against them and everything. And then God finally says, "You know what? Get out of my ways, Moses. I'm going to kill them. I've had it with their resistance and their rebellion. I'm going to kill them, Moses." And Moses, "No, Lord. In fact, if you're going to do it, take me too." That was his prayer. That God didn't answer. God didn't kill him. God sometimes says no. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Paul's talking about the revelations that he has had. God had shown him some things, I believe, in this vision. He says he can't tell whether it was real or a vision. It says, "Is such a one caught up to the third heaven," speaking about himself, "to saw some things that were unlawful for him to utter." And then he goes on, he says in verse 7 here, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Some affliction has befallen him. This messenger of Satan that God has allowed to afflict him to help to keep him humble, is what he's saying. To keep me from being puffed up about what all that God has shown me, all that God has given to me. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Three times he says, "God, please deliver me from this thing. Please take this thing away, this messenger of Satan that's coming and buffeting me." May I point out that Jesus Christ prayed in the garden three times, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. There's a pattern there, folks. Two examples of somebody praying three times for something that God said no. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, here's the answer. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. No, I'm not going to do it, Paul. As much as a struggle this is for you, as difficult as this is for you, I've got a purpose in this. So no. Then he goes on, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's faithful servants, many have had God say no in answer to their prayers. And when God says no, you stop asking. Three times. The Lord quit. Three times. Then Paul quit. I accept it. This is your will. This is your purpose in my life. Look at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They have been told that they need to bow before this statue and worship this idol, otherwise they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king has pleaded with them and appealed to them to just, oh, what's it going to hurt? You know, just go along. And it's not, and we're not careful how we are answering you. We understand what we're saying and the commitment we've made. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. We know what our God can do. We are confident in His ability. If he doesn't want us in there, you're not going to put us in there. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. They said, one way or another, we're going to escape this thing. We don't know what it is, but one way or another, we're getting out. Verse 18, but if not, be it known, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. If we have to go in the fire, it doesn't matter. We are committed to our God. And you know the rest of the story. God didn't deliver them from the fire. He delivered them through the fire. He said no to the deliverance. To Paul, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106 gives us an example of not taking no for an answer. It's about the history of the nation of Israel and their wilderness wanderings. Psalm 106, let's pick it up in verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. The psalmist says, they didn't get God. They didn't understand what God was doing, those plagues that came that led to their deliverance out of Egypt. They understood that not. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. All the things that God had done for them and with them, delivering them from Egypt, preserving them in the wilderness. And going before them and conquering their enemies and so forth. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as though through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of them that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed, then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Wow, look what God did. Amazing. They soon forgot his works. Could you imagine that? I mean, I dare say many of us have seen God do some amazing things in our lives and the lives of others around us. But it doesn't compare to watching the water part and the several million people being able to pass through on dry ground and once safely on the other side. And as the armies of Egypt begin to follow them in there, God lets it go and drowns the entire army of Pharaoh. We've not seen anything like that. They did. And they forgot. Kind of the, what have you done for me today attitude. Yeah, that was back then, God. What are you doing right now? They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert and gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their souls. They got into the wilderness. God preserved their clothing. God preserved their shoes. God cared for them. God provided them water out of the rock. God provided manna from heaven every day. But they said, oh, that we could have the leeks and onions of Egypt. Oh, that we could have flesh to eat. And they kept whining and complaining and crying out to God. Not taking no for an answer. Not being content with God's supply and provision. We want that flesh. So God sent them the quails. In fact, he almost buried them in the quail. Now, quail's some good eating. If you've ever had it, it's good. But when you are buried in it and it begins to rot and to stink, suddenly it's not so pleasant again. And that's what God did. He just buried them in it. And they began to stink. And they began to then resent what God had given at their request. But the worst thing was, he sent leanness unto their souls. Because they continued to gripe and beg and plead, not accepting what God had said. When he told them no. God sometimes answers no. And when he does, you need to stop. Now, if he hasn't said no yet, that's not a problem. But when that still small voice says, my grace is sufficient, you accept that. And that's what Paul did, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So God answers according to his will. God sometimes says no. Thirdly, God answers according to his schedule. I don't like that. I got my own calendar. you know, this is the way it's supposed to go, Lord. God says, no. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know, we were told repeatedly to wait on God. Look at Psalm 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out in their distresses. Look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 3. Yea. Well, let's start in verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of him who bringeth the wicked devices to pass. Don't fuss about that. That's the way it is, folks. This present evil world, overseen by the God of this world, the prince and power of the air, the ruler of darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. This world's wicked. And we need not to fret about that. We see things, we experience things that aren't right. And that's just the way it is. And there's not much we can do about it except to look to our God and to trust Him and wait on Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of him the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. When we become angry about these things, we surrender to them. We give them control over us. We need not to do that. We need to rest in Him, to trust in Him. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I'm going to get even with them. No. God says, you let me take care of it. You wait for me. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 130, verse 5. Psalm 130 and verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in His word do I hope. That's what we've got, folks. Whatever situation you might be in right now, that's where your hope is. Not in the system. Not in anything related to this world. But in our God. Because ultimately, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew, they would be delivered. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why do we faint? Because we're not waiting on Him, resting in Him, trusting in Him, because we're trying to do it ourselves. God says, you just let go of it and leave it with me to take care of it. God answers according to His schedule. You know, we want to run ahead of God. Because this is my schedule. And this is the way I think you should do it, God. Or I want you to do it, God. God says, no. Abraham found that out. He and Sarah. I'm going to give you a son, Abraham. Okay. Well, that son's not coming. Okay, let's see. Hagar, you're up. Let's see what we can do here. And you see what they could do. Ishmael is a problem to this day to the descendants of Jacob. Ishmael to this, that's what's going on over in the Mideast, folks. Ishmael and Jacob are not getting along. And Jacob has made concessions and given up and tried to get along. And Ishmael is a wild man whose hand is against every man. That's what it says about him. They don't get along with anybody. They want supremacy. That's Ishmael, the Arabs. And it all started with Abraham and Sarah taking things into their own hands instead of waiting for God. God answers according to His schedule and according to His purpose. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard this, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard thereof that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. Drop down to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. That seems a strange thing to say, doesn't it? For your sakes, that I was not there. To the intent that you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto Him. I'm glad. Yes. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as he heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is that true? Sure. He could have stopped that. He purposely delayed. That was deliberate. There's a lot of grief when someone dies, isn't there? Sorrow, sadness. He purposely allowed that to happen. Because they didn't want him to die. But the Lord had something even better in mind to bring him back to life again. For a far greater purpose than what theirs was. They just didn't want to lose him. Jesus didn't want to lose him either. But he was going to do something far greater, far beyond what they could even begin to imagine, by allowing him to die and then bringing him back to life again. You see, they thought he was late. If he had been here, he wouldn't have died. And that was true according to their schedule. But by his schedule, he was right on time. The perfect timing of God. God answers according to his schedule, according to his purposes. And finally, God answers the prayer of faith. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 6. We'll start in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to ask in faith. Resting in him, confident in him, trusting in him, that he knows, that he's capable, and that he will according to his will. You see, I don't think it's all about his ability, but it's also about his probability. We need to be confident that he can, but then we need to be dependent upon him to do so, but according to his will. And we pray sometimes, and we put these things before God, and we lay it out how we want, and it's all right to pray that way, but be yielded to what God might want to do. But when it doesn't come to pass according to our plan, then we begin to work out our own plan. That's not faith. God, here it is. Here's my problem. Here's the deliverance that I need. Or that which I need delivered from, maybe. I should rephrase that. And here's how I'd like you to do it, God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Look at Job chapter 23. Mentioned him in the beginning. Job 23, and he's lost everything, his family, all seven kids. He's lost his livestock. He's lost his crops. And now he's lost his health. His wife has turned against him. His three friends came and sat and stared at him for 7 days without saying a word. when they began to speak, it was nothing but trying to condemn him and trying to prove that he had done something wrong, that that's why God had let this thing come into his life. It wasn't. It was simply that God saw a man that he could trust to bring these things into his life, to use it as Sam Gibbs says, to put a stick in the eye of Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job? God said, a just man, perfect in his generations, walking uprightly before me. That's what God said about him. And so he's gone through all this with these guys condemning him, and he says this now in chapter 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that what he would say unto me. You ever feel like that? God, if I could just sit down and before your throne and see you and audibly hear your answers. That's kind of what he's saying here. To really get something solid and concrete I can grab onto. Will he plead against me, verse 6, with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so would I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the right, on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, then I cannot see him. That's the depths of despair, isn't it? But now look what he says. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. In those depths of despair, out of that gloom and maybe even depression, of all the darkness in this place which he's in right now, he sees the shimmering light. That I don't know what you're going to do, God. I don't know how you're going to do it. But in the end, I'm going to come out. Because you know the way that I take. And when this trial is passed, for whatever purpose you've allowed this thing into my life, I'll come forth as gold. That's faith. That no matter how dark it may seem, no matter how disappointing the current situation or circumstance might be, God's going to bring you through. I besought the Lord thrice. But his grace is sufficient for me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That God's purpose be fulfilled in our lives. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, certainly on our hearts this morning is Nate and Sarah's situation. God, we don't understand. And we've cried out to you, and we've begged you, and we've pleaded with you, Father, for what we believe would have been the righteous and just outcome. And for whatever reason you have chosen to allow something other than what we desired. God, we place that whole situation in your hands with those children, with Shelva, the attorneys, and the judge. God, help us to trust you. But Lord, at the same time, there may be others struggling with some things, maybe even unknown to us, equally as distressing and difficult and confusing. God, may they find strength from your word, from these thoughts this morning. Maybe it's something that's coming in the future. God, may we look to you, may we trust in you completely, to not be wavering and double-minded in our faith, but confident in spite of the circumstance that you are in control and you continue to care and to love us and ultimately will give us the victory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.